With you. Hallelujah. Amen. Building blocks. When children are very young, like toddlers, get them building blocks. And they begin to create things out of those building blocks. Those things we call Legos. Hallelujah. But when you break down whatever they've been able to create with Legos, you will find that those building blocks are just simple tiny bits all together. But because of the way that you are able to kind of weave them or put them together, you bring birth or you bring to reality different shapes and different concepts. Amen. So sometimes if he has 200 pieces of those Legos, he makes a car. If he has 200 pieces of the same Lego, he breaks it down, makes a house, according to how creative he can be with those pieces that he has. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. So 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 22, and we'll stop at verse 25. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Another version says that the word of God abides forever. It says you have been born, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Amen. Verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. It says, all flesh is grass as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. So don't be confused, don't be dismayed. You know that man was made from dust. Okay, so the physical construct of man was from the earth crust. And the Bible says, for you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. But gradually, you actually are returning to dust, but you just don't know. Hallelujah. You say, am I decaying? You just don't know. So ordinarily, you have exfoliation of your skin. Okay? It peels, and it becomes dust. Your scalp comes off, and you brush it. I see. It becomes dust. Hallelujah. So gradually you know that all these things is dust. Amen. When you go for manicure or pedicure and they scrape all those things, what do you think it is? Hallelujah. It says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. The life of anything at all is in its seed. So when you have a seed, okay, that seed contains all that will bring to birth or to life, whatever fruit that seed is supposed to bring to birth. Are you getting me? So if you put a seed, a bean seed here, an apple seed here, everything that will bring birth to pulses, beans, or bring birth to a fruit tree, lies in that seed. Okay? And first, the first thing that happens to that seed when you drop it in the ground is that it first of all dies. Okay? There's no argument about that. It first dies, and then it begins to sprout. Now, not all seed can be planted or should be planted. So farmers have this, ordinarily farmers should have this habit that when they have a harvest, they will segregate the harvest into three. The good, the very good, or the best, the good, and then what you think about the bad, or you call the bad. The farmer ordinarily will sow the very best, okay? And then he will consume the one that you think is bad and sells off the one that is in the middle. Why would you sow the very best? Because if he's expecting a good harvest next time, his harvest comes from the seeds that he has sown. Hallelujah. So ordinarily he will think that the ones that have come out well, they will be good seeds that will bring forth another harvest. Hallelujah. The life of anything starts, is in a seed, and it starts from a seed. Amen. Now, and that comes to show you that those three categories of seed, okay, there's a probability that they can be corrupted. Right? So when I was growing up, we used to buy beans. Abi? And then when we buy it, you begin to pick them. You pick the ones that are okay, no holes caused by weevil or whatever. And you see some, they are half okay. When you look at these half okay, you don't put it here now, it's okay. Then you see some, they have all there, you say, I cannot, those are corrupted seeds. Okay, nobody wants to deal with that. So you are going to have to cook the one that's good, and you think that is good. What I'm saying is that those ordinary seeds that we see, not all of them, when you plant them, will grow and will germinate. Hallelujah. So there's always a probability when you are doing that. Okay, there's always probability. This one may not be favorable, blah, blah, blah. But here it's telling you that you are born of, you haven't been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Amen. That's why the product of God's word is the best of the best that can happen. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's from an incorruptible seed with the word of God, which endures forever. So once you and I become born again, this is the best that God can give. Hallelujah. I hope you are getting me. Because you are coming from an incorruptible seed. The incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. Amen. So if you have very good seed, then you expect your harvest to be very good. Okay? And when you get there, you look at them and say, wow, the seeds are this big, this large. And then you are happy. So we keep our hand in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 and 25, very important. Then we go to Mark chapter 4. A very long. Okay, so we'll be picking it one by one, and then we'll dissect. I will move on. I read from verse 1. It says, again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his teaching, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because he had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because he had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no crop, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And then he said, he who has ear, let him hear. Let him hear. Amen. Verse 10 says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may not see, they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. Verse 15, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. Okay, so he was explaining the parable that he said. Then he says in verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, then let's go to verse 26. He said, the kingdom of God is as a man who should scatter seed on ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. Himself does not know how. For the earth eats crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts sickle, because the harvest has come. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it's sown on the ground, is small, smaller than all seeds on the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under it. And verse 33 says, and with many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. When they were alone, he explained all things to disciples. Hallelujah. So all this I've read to you from verse 1 to verse 34. He was teaching them about the word of God. And what was key about the word that will bear 30 or 60 or 100 fold is in verse 20 that says, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30 fold, some 60, and some 100. It says, those who hear the word, accept it. Hallelujah. Without accepting the word, it cannot be of any use, of any value to whoever hears it. So three categories have been highlighted. Okay. The first category was the one that heard the word. Verse 14, the sower sows the word, and these are the words once by the wayside. When the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their heart. Okay? So they hear the word, they have not been able to digest it, and then Satan takes it away for whatever reason. So someone is just passing by, and or one is just having a conversation with you, and you drop a word, hallelujah, and is not able to understand or process it. And because of the value of that word, Satan takes it away. Okay? Now that person has no part in it, because he just heard it, and he had whether he accepts or not, no, he just took it and it was taken away from him. The second category, he says, and that's because he has no root, because it was immediately taken, so he has no root, he has not processed anything. That word has no root in him. The second category, okay, he says that okay, now this verse 18 says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Hallelujah. So you have to have an internal environment that is favorable for the word. Hallelujah. They say they hear the word, okay? And then the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. That means those things, the deceitfulness, the desires of riches, were competing with the word, competing for your attention, competing for processing. Hallelujah. Amen. So you have 3, 4, 5 things in front of you with the word of God. And because you are focusing on those things, the word of God cannot be fruitful. And for the word of God to be fruitful, you must pay attention to it. Hallelujah. And not only pay attention, you must accept it, which was what the last set of people did. He says that, but these, verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So even the ones that accept it, they have categories. Some only believe to an extent. Some believe to a further extent, and some believe in its totality. Hallelujah. Because the 60, the 30, and the 100-fold is dependent on how much of the word of God you are able to process and make use of. So, for instance, some people may believe, can believe, everybody believes that tomorrow I will wake up. I have faith enough. Right? And everybody has a project. And everybody begins to strive and believe one after the other. And then there are certain things that you say, oh, this one is big. I don't think my faith can carry this. I'm not probably going to have a 30 or a 60-fold representation of or reproduction or representation of what the world of God can do. But the man that looks as a challenge and sees and says, you know what? The word of God stands forever, abides forever. This too shall pass. We'll see a 100-fold. Now, it's not that both of them didn't believe. It's just that one is able to stretch his faith. That degree of acceptance of God's word is so different. And that's the difference between all of us that sit down here. Amen. How far we are able to go to stretch ourselves in accepting this word is what determines the productivity of the word. Amen. Just as when you plant a seed in the ground and then you begin to water it, you weed, okay, and you say, oh, I want humus soil, and then you put it there. Why are you putting the humus soil? So that the environment is conducive for the seed. Now, if that environment is not conducive and it's hot, or you have clay soil, the seed is going to dry up. And it's not going to produce anything. Now, that doesn't make that seed originally weak. Hallelujah. It is the environment that you have put the seed in that has made that seed look weak and makes it look die off. So if you ordinarily look at it, if you look at the regular bean seed, it's dry. But when you put it in a conducive environment, water it, it begins to sprout. Okay? Hallelujah. So, once you accept the word of God, it bears fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And Christ took his time and was breaking down all these things and said in verse 30, what can be likened to the kingdom of God? What can be is a parable, a mustard seed, which when it's sown to the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up, becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out larger branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. So what looks so insignificant, okay, when you nurture it, it becomes a place of refuge for every, because that's what it means, is so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. It becomes a place of refuge for the birds of the air. They come to nest. Hallelujah. Amen. In verse 35, which is where I'm going, he says, on the same day after he had told them all the stories, and he had said, look, this is the word of God, this is how it works, the soil sows the seed, and it's the word of God. And now, so the word of God is not somebody coming to you and being very, I don't even know how to say it. You know how those sisters and brothers, they speak? So thus says the Lord, blah, blah, blah. That's not the word of God. The word of God is the impression of the Holy Spirit upon your heart. Hallelujah. And it can come at any time and in any way. But once it's God's word, okay, it doesn't have to be lettered the way the Bible is lettered. Hallelujah. But it has to find foundation and backing in the scriptures. So in verse 35, it says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Hallelujah. He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. So the intention of Christ when he spoke was that they were going to the other side. Hallelujah. That's the word of God. Let us cross over to the other. He didn't say, let us see if we can cross over to the other side. That sentence was very definite. Let us cross over to the other side. There was no ambiguity in the statement. And then it says in verse 36, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in a boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great wind storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And when they awoke him, and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Hallelujah. That statement that he made, this last statement that he made, makes me to understand that they did not understand the person that was with them. He has spoken to them about the word of God, that if you accept it, okay, it will bear fruit. Hallelujah. And this is Christ personified in person with them. So that every word that he was speaking, every actual word that he was saying, okay, is the word of God. Hallelujah. And so what he expected them to do, the first thing was that when he said, let us go to the other side, he expected that word he spoke to them, they will mix it with faith, they will accept it and know that, look, we are going to get to the other side. So that when the storms came, okay, that word he said to them will still be with them. Hallelujah. They will still have held on to that word that he said that we are going to the other side. Christ said we are going to the other side. So in this storm and what we are seeing is only temporary. He had explained to them that, look, he said immediately they heard the word, it was snatched away from them. Another said they had the cares of this world. Okay? And they could do nothing because they choked the word. Hallelujah. And then he said another said, accepted it. And he was bearing 30, 60, and 100 fold. Amen. Hallelujah. He does not expect you and I to hear his word and then decide that what we have heard today, we are processing it tomorrow. Because almost immediately, it looked as if he gave them a test. He says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go to the other side. Amen. The word of God, once it goes forth, the Bible says, it will not come back to him void until it has accomplished that which it was sent forth to accomplish. Let us not be religious about it. That we are praying, that's the word of God. No. When the word of knowledge drops on the inside of you and you speak it, that's the word of God. Hallelujah. If you accept it, you will see 30, 60, or 100 fold, depending on how far you can stretch it. Amen. And then he said that in verse 39, in verse 38, he said he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and he said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Hallelujah. And he arose and said, and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Hallelujah. What Christ was expecting. That's why, be careful when you are being religious. Christ was in the boat. He did not stop the storm. Hallelujah. Are you getting me? Christ being in the boat did not mean that the storm did not come. And Christ being in the boat did not mean that when the storm came, the storm saw Christ and ran away. Hallelujah. Christ being in the boat did not mean that the men understood the power of spoken words. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm trying to tell you? If you will not put the word of God to use, he says in verse 20 that they accepted, those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit.
Is a doing word.
First they accept, and the next thing is that they bear fruit. If you are not going to use the word of God, even if it's staring at you like this, it's not going to be of any use to you. Because it's an action, it's a doing word. You have to write on that word. Hallelujah. Amen. And you cannot write on it if there is no faith. So what Christ was expecting here, okay, was what he did when they woke him. And he first dealt with the wind, and then looked at them and said, how is it that you're so fearful? Why do you have so, he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Amen. The first word he told them was, let us go to the other side. They were not, and their actions when the pressures came showed that they had no inkling of how to make use of the word they have, which is to reach that word with faith. So when he spoke to them, when he commanded the wind and the sea, he said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's the same manner of man that you and I are, if only we will stand and issue the faith command based on God's word. Amen. But these things don't just come like that. Let me go back to verse 20. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the earth. But when the grain ripens, immediately he pulls in sickle because the harvest has come. Amen. The harvest cannot come if there is no grain in the head, right? Because that's the end product. And there cannot be any grain in the head if there is no head. Amen. And there cannot be any head if there is no blade. I have moved back. I just went back. But what the Bible says here is that first the blade must come, and then the head, and after that, the full grain in the head. Okay? So there cannot be any harvest. You cannot have harvest from blade to head, from blade to grain in the head. You must have a step of from grain, from the blade to the head, and then you have grain in the head. It's a process. Hallelujah. If the word of God will be effective and put to effective use, then that word must ride on faith. Hallelujah. And it's not a magician's way of life. And that's why he says this thing is progressive. First, the blade must appear. And then the head will come. And then from the head, you can expect the grain. That's when you begin to harvest. Hallelujah. Those men didn't even know that they could tell the wind to stop. Because if they knew, they wouldn't have been amazed that Christ told the wind and the sea to be calm. Peace be still. Outside of him, we can do nothing. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 that we read, that we are born, having been born not of the corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the seed that is not subject to decay, deterioration, and death. Hallelujah. A seed that lives forever. That's the word of God. That's how powerful the word of God is. And that's how it always waits for that command. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord, the echoing unto the voice of the word of God. Amen. The echoing unto the voice of the word of God. That word of God needs a voice. Hallelujah. And if no voice is going to speak that word of God, there is nothing that you are going to achieve. And when you are going to do that, you have to do that in faith. Amen. So that which gives birth to life is a seed. And we have been given birth to by the seed, which is the word of God. And that which is going to sustain us is that same seed. I was saying something just now, that seed, that word, okay, is not subject to decay, deterioration, or death, because it's incorruptible. Hallelujah. And because we are born of that incorruptible word, this body we have is not subject, as long as we remain in this body, is not subject to deterioration, to decay, and to death. Hallelujah. You get what I'm saying? Because what has given birth is not subject to that. So what it has produced is not subject to deterioration, which is what happens when people say, when we talk about diseases or ailments. Hallelujah. It's deterioration of the body, sicknesses. But it's not meant to be so. That's why the Bible tells us in Isaiah, I think it's 55, that for it was bruised for our sins. And the chastisement of our iniquities were upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. Hallelujah. All you need to do is look at him, and it's done. We say something where I come from. You see, you have to know the son of whom we are. Okay? So when you go to a, when you enter, then you're in an environment. Okay? You look at your background. That's what determines how you comport yourself in that environment. That's what it simply means. Okay? So, wherever you find yourself, you have to first understand that, who am I? Amen. If I'm born of that incorruptible seed that endures and lives forever, that neither deteriorates or decays, hallelujah, you have to carry that understanding with you everywhere you go. And so that when this earthly construct of yours is beginning to quiver, you are able to speak to it. Amen. That's the key. You are able to speak to it, and it's going to conform to the word of God. You are going to speak God's word to it. Why? Because that's where it came from. Hallelujah. When we were born again, what the Bible says, I think it's James chapter 1, verse 22, is that we have been engrafted by that word of God, which is able to save our soul. When our spirit man receives the word of God, okay, is that fortified? No deterioration and no decay. No corruption. That's why when they say that you cannot sin, everyone looks at, what does that mean? I cannot sin. It's because where you come from or what you are made of is incorruptible. And the Bible captures that you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of righteousness. So you are born of an incorruptible seed. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Meaning that your very core should be intact and is intact. And that's where you begin to issue commands from. Look at what the Bible also says. In Luke chapter 20, chapter 20. So no corruption, everything. It says, Luke chapter 17, verse 20, It says, now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. says, for indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. He says, the kingdom of God is within you. And in Mark chapter 4 that we were reading, in verse 26, he says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. Christ is trying, was trying, because these are the red letters of Christ, by the way, everything I'm reading was about the red letters of Christ, was trying to show you the importance of that seed, okay, to your internalizing that seed. He says the kingdom of God is as if a man, and where is the kingdom of God? He says it's within you. Hallelujah. In verse 30, he says, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it's sown on the ground, is smaller than all seeds on the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under it. Hallelujah. That which is within you is supposed to be progressive. Okay? Hallelujah. It's supposed to develop progressively. And it's supposed to end up providing a place of refuge. Within you. Says the kingdom of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. It is within you. And it will remain within you. And because it's within you and it's from the word of God, it's incorruptible. But if you can't see it and you cannot accept it, you will not be able to understand it. The first person that the word was taken away from, he had not processed it. It was immediately taken away from it. First thing is, see, if I give you something, if I say, stretch forth your hand and I place something in your hand, and you leave it like this, it's just in your hand. You have not accepted it. If I give it to you and you clench your fist, you have accepted it and you are going. Then you will later go and begin to open it, which is what the third person did. The first person just looked at it, it's there. Someone just snatches it away. Another person looks at it here and begins to say, oh, I need to hold my phone as well. That's what the riches and all the treasures. I need to hold my phone as well. And then the one drops, it's suffocated. But the one that gets it says, wow, let me accept it. And then it begins to bear fruit. You have to bear fruit in every aspect of life. Because the word of God is, it says, I am that I am. That's his name. So whatever situation you find yourself, I am that I am. Hallelujah. Because the kingdom of God is within you. That's why Christ could say that these signs shall follow them that believe. Hallelujah. These signs shall follow them. You are a moving dispenser of miracles. Because not everybody will have the kingdom of God within them. And it's what you have within you that you are bringing forth. What we carry as Christians is so valuable that it can save the whole world. Hallelujah. Let me check. Luke chapter 1. This word of God is the same seed that was spoken and when Christ was born. Because all the angel did was to appear to Mary and speak the word. And what happened? What did Mary say? Be it unto me according to your word. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. It says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who has called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary's miracle was because Mary heard the word, accepted it, and chose to let it bear fruit. Amen. And that's the confusion that everybody that has not accepted Christ have not been able to understand. But it was simple. Christ has said it. He says that if you will see a miracle, then you need to get God's word, you need to accept it and you need to let it bear fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. In your hands, nothing should be dying. Okay? So when you are doing anything, and say, this thing is not working, it shouldn't be happening in your hands. Hallelujah. Because you're supposed to speak the word of God. And you're supposed to birth miracles. Miracles are conditions that every other person will look at and say, this is a foregone conclusion. But you will look at and say, you know what? There's a God in heaven. Circumstances, situations of life ought to be faced squarely. But you don't face them by your own might. You face them by speaking God's word. Christ spoke to the storm. He said, peace, be still. And you know, we need to live the way Christ lived. Every time any situation came, he was never going to start skabashing. He was not going to start praying in tongues. He would look at things. And then we'll say, hallelujah. And when he says, he doesn't bother himself anymore. He has said it and it is done. That's the faith command. Mark 11, 22 to 24 talks about it. And that's how we should fashion our walk with God and with Christ. We live the way, he says, Christ said, I do the things I see my Father do. We also ought also to do the things that we see him do. Hallelujah. When you're praying, the Bible says, Jude 1:20, you're building up your most holy faith. When you're faced with challenges, that's not when you're praying. Do you get what I'm saying? When you're faced with challenges, that's not when you're praying. That's when you begin to issue the command, just the way Christ issued. In Mark chapter 4. And he said the reason why they were not issuing it was because they didn't have any faith. They were fearful. They expected that Christ in the boat, he also will carry a bucket with them and be throwing water away. Because when he stopped the wind, they wouldn't have been like, who is this man? What man of man is this? They expected that they would do things in like manner. And the same way Christ expects that you will do things in the manner in which he does things. You don't see a situation and run away. See a situation and speak to it. Whether it is internally or external to you, you have to speak. When you are praying, pray in your closet on a regular basis. And when you face situations, that faith you have built up, Jude 1:20, is it her? Let me display it. I don't want to paraphrase. It's not Luke, it's Jude. It says, but you, beloved, or beloved, whichever one, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Why do you have to build yourself up on your most holy faith? So that you have faith enough to be able to give you that command without wavering. That's what happens when you're praying. And if you're not praying, there's no faith to work on. Hallelujah. And there's no faith to work on. There's no miracle to happen. It's not magic. No one watching. Jesus. Those people saying Jesus, they already internalized him before speaking it. So when you watch things and they are just shouting Jesus, and then things happen, you will notice that they will have shown you a trend of that person before a situation came. And he's shouting Jesus. And the trend will be that it's consistent. This is the foundation that makes you boldly speak. It's just like when you go for an exam and you have read. Like the video my wife sent to us. One woman, two people were having an exam. One was still reading. So what's this one? Another one was sitting down. It was already calculating. He was using two biros. And then he was measuring. This one, is it the same thing? And then suddenly he left his own exam, was wondering, and then I was saying, please, more paper. I said, is this same exam? That's what will happen if you are not praying, building up your most holy faith. When somebody is issuing faith command, you be like this. I say, are we in the same Christian race? And that's why everybody is like, wow, God is real. Because we are not building. That's the only thing that Christ said those guys did not have. And that's why they could not issue the faith command. Because when they get to the place of faith, they will understand that when we speak and it's God's word, it will be done. God's word, incorruptible. Because it's incorruptible, no matter how long it has gone for, it's still as potent as when it was sent for. No matter how long, this is 1 year, 2 years, it has gone. Because it's incorruptible. When it gets to where it's going, it will deliver as though it was sent now. Everything fresh. This one. It will deliver. 1 year, 2 years. If you think it's taking time, he said it's first the blade, then the head, and then the grain in the head. Between the blade and the head, there is a waiting time. Hallelujah. But this blade, head, and grain, you know what they are working on? The fact that seed time and harvest will not cease. So there's a process. So there's a seed time and the harvest. But there's something in between. So when you move in the seed, then it brings forth the blade, and then there's the head, and then that head will not remain barren. There must be grain in the head, because harvest must come. That's one sure thing. It says, as long as the heart remaineth. And so when you are sowing seeds of faith, hallelujah, and you are issuing those commands, that seed that you are sowing and that harvest is sure, because the command follow a process. It only takes you to wait. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Miracles happen to those that accept it, the word of God, and have faith. If you don't have faith, if you have not built up yourself, praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. And rise on our feet. Everything and everything needs a miracle. You need a healing, is a miracle. You need money, is a miracle. Hallelujah. There's turbulence emotionally. You need a miracle. But you have to cultivate that. You have to cultivate your internal environment so that he accepts that word of God and begins to work on it internally. Let's talk to God this evening. I see some accepting the word already and they're holding tight to it. Their 30, their 60, and 100-fold is sure. Reblood and bank abas katalida, bra. Hey, kapo sanka li kapo rabas azalida. Like unto thee, O Lord, who is like unto thee, O among the gods,
who is like thee, glorious in holiness and fearful in praises, always do.
Everybody pray. Like unto thee, O Lord, who is like unto thee, O Lord, amongst the gods.
All we thank you.
Any situation, all you need to do is issue the faith command.
Le pro capos canta liga pose que bomba caliga patisca ta bocra quine bossa la lida da ba mancra de sata ligra macla dose que diga palubra da basica dice de ya eca pratos canta liga da boca pase que diga da basa de ya mancra basa da ya.
He says, whoever says to this mountain, break la boca basa da ya, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He says, have faith in God. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea. Mata broka poka palige popansa kaya men da topa kaliga. What he expects from you is riding on the faith. Bringala masakaya. Whoever says to this mountain, lepat kataliga, be removed, mala, and be cast into the sea. E yambas katapopa pasania, and does not doubt in his mind, leka popa linga la pasania, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Hallelujah. Erabaskata bamblados kete popara skatalida. E garabosa taliga. E credebosa taliga rabande baskatea. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Manda baskatalia. E gratumba sekadi grados kada la papa sedea. Kebum latos katalingra deskata basadea.
You are the great and mighty God, so greatly to be praised, beautiful in all situations.
You are the joy of the whole world.
You are the great and mighty God,
so greatly to be praised, beautiful in all situations. You are the joy.
The great and mighty God, so greatly to be praised, beautiful in all situations.
Faith in God, and after that, assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to the mountain, whosoever says to this mountain, hallelujah, specific, this is specific, hallelujah, whosoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, will have what he says. Rebo kapan la bruska daria, and the miracle is birth. Make a bo kanka ligra tomba kalia, mangra doske te bo pralisa taliga papu pasa kalia. E kam plose ke disa. It applies to anything and anything at all. Ling latas kata bo prediska taliga pasa kalia. Lepo kanda boska taliga padri proska taliga. Edebo santa likra de bo skate bombra da basika disaria. Eka tinga lopra diskata likra de kanda basoka basaria. Mara se de bo skate liga da bombla doskete di de bunga skatalida. Lord, we give you praise. If you need a healing, raise your hand on your chest. Lebra kapa sata lida po paskata lida. Eka bro de bo seka lika la panka tato prete sata lida. And you say to that condition, you issue the faith command to that condition. Le kapo kaka sete lida pradanka, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. E kratomba la bose ketisa klatamba kapose kariya. E debos katanda liga batsata ya. Agbara.
Uchu agbara la. Agbara la. Agbara kibati. Agbaro. Yeah.
worship him. For as many as have issued a faith command and believe, they shall see a manifestation of the word of God. Rekaboka kalira boska talida. Eklande brasa talide boska kaliga. Ereboska kapoplo liska de banda baska talida. Ekatopra da bansa talida rabaska taliga. Ekapo sete liga. Lift up your hands, man na basa talia. Eklaboska taliga rabasa kapoka. Ea basa katida. Ereboska talida pratika. Mankato brakinga lisa talida braska talida. Lord, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name.